Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. How are you? You're back at the spot, your favorite place, the podcast, where the conversations are pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Today, we are going to talk to Linda Colasanti. Brains, you know, I share this story because I'm not ashamed of it. I grew up and I had a challenge with dyslexia. It wasn't a severe challenge, but it was a challenge, and my daughter ended up with it as well. It was hard for me to sound out words. It was hard for me to spell sometimes because I transposed my letters. And so what that did was that caused a delay in reading because everybody could cut, cut, buh, buh, duh, duh, and I couldn't. And then you have trouble in school because everybody's reading faster than you, or their comprehension is a little bit better than yours. And, you know, the teacher's kind of looking at you with a side eye because she's got 15 to 20 other children in that classroom that she's trying to move along with the curriculum. And then she's got me. Okay, well, back in the day when I was going to school, they would put you in the remedial reading class. Now you were in the special class. Now there was an opportunity for bullying. It was a snowball effect. But my parents got on top of that. There was a thing called Reading Rabbit. There was also these little magazines that used to come out called The Reader. They put me in a special reading program, and it was a thing called Hooked on Phonics. But now we have trained specialists that work in the area of dyslexia, and Linda is one of them. So parents, I want you to know that there is hope, and there's hope for you as adults too. You may not realize that you had that. There's so many different forms, so many different levels of dyslexia. And Linda's going to break that down. Also, I'm going to ask her, people say that it is a neurodivergence characteristics. I don't know. Maybe it falls in that category, but that's a big $25 word. So let's welcome her to the show. How are you, Linda?
I'm wonderful. Thank you so much for having me here, April. I'm so glad to be on the edge.
Well, you look so pretty and fresh, just like those carnations in the picture. Yes,
you do. Thank you. Thank you so much. You do too.
So tell my brains a little bit about you and how you found yourself and your place in this space in the world.
Well, thank you, first of all, for having me on. I'm so happy to be here. It's really interesting. I'm adopted. And dyslexia, as you said, is genetic and it's inherited. And I struggled to read and I managed to create coping skills. But back in the 70s, you know, people just thought that you would outgrow it or you'd eventually get it or whatever. And I did. I actually did. I was able to graduate college in 4 years with a, you know, high B average. And so I was able to function, but it wasn't easy. And so people who have dyslexia, they read inefficiently. They read using the frontal lobe of their brain. And typical readers read using the frontal part of their lobe, the middle and the back sections of their brain. And you use the word remedial. And the thing is with remedial education or for reading, it just means a remedy for reading. And so I kind of want to knock the stigma out of remedial. If anybody's in remedial reading, they're getting a remedy. They're going to get help. And so, but what happened, and the reason I'm in this space is my older son was struggling in school, was reading, kind of acting. I've got to be really careful with this one. He was just trying to fit in. He was just trying to fit in, and he was a little bit of the class clown. He's still funny today. He's one of the funniest people I know.
Oh, I know, because you want the distraction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do. Yep. Anything.
Distraction, yeah.
Take away anything. So our journey was fraught with misdiagnoses, 3 to be exact. Mm-hmm. And we ended up getting a 4th and final diagnosis. And when the child psychologist said, you know what? He has dyslexia and he's very intelligent. And when I heard that, we knew exactly what to do. You know, he just needed explicit instruction. And so many people aren't able to get that initial screening or that initial diagnosis. So it did not need to take as long as it did to get the help that he really needed. What did happen is there were only two tutors that were available at the time. And for us in our situation, sending him to a private school for dyslexia was not an option at the time. So I rolled up my sleeves and now I'm certified in three different, what's called Orton-Gillingham curricula.
Wow.
What I would call it. But I took matters into my own hands. Absolutely. And I took law courses so that I knew what our rights were. I also did a year-long practicum to become a dyslexia screener. And this actually was all done before it was placed in the DSM-5 as a medical condition. Now it's a medical condition. The thing is, though, is that you can be identified as someone who's struggling to read. And if you, I'm not saying you don't need an official diagnosis. I am saying, though, that if you do get screened and there are red flags, go ahead and start getting help.
Absolutely, because self-esteem, self-worth, and carrying on with the curriculum. You know, the school system right now, and I'm not knocking teachers because you're my favorite people on the planet.
Yeah.
And you do the very best that you can. Nobody signed you up to be the mass monitor. Nobody signed you up to be the bulletproof vest.
I agree.
Nobody signed you up to take the jab. I get all that. You signed up for something very different. And so I think about what you're doing. However, if I had a child, I was with four young kids yesterday. Oh, girl, they wore me out. Because I wasn't used to being with little people. But I looked at each one of them. And one of them is doing, you know, great. She really has a challenge. She's taking some medication, but she got an A in her math. She got an A in her English and an F in art. And I'm like, and I'm saying, you know, that's when you just don't want to apply yourself. When you just get an F in art, you're just sitting there like lunch meat. But I looked at the different dynamics and I'm thinking about the school system now. I don't know. I would probably be a homeschooler. I put my daughter in private school and come to find out she was in one of these combination classes, fourth and fifth. And they would say, Chanel, why are you so distracted? Why are you doing something totally different when we're supposed to be reading and this, that, and the other? She finally came to me and she said, Mom, she says, I don't get it. She says, I don't read as fast as the other kids. And it feels like somebody's hitting me over the head and I'm kind of spinning around. Well, she was getting dizzy. She couldn't see the board. Nobody ever broke that down. They were quick to want to diagnose her with ADHD or ADD. And I have no problem if that is the case. I said, but she's not experiencing any of these characteristics when she's at home.
Sure.
When she's with you and at this particular time of the day. Long story short, we put her in a program called Sylvan Learning Center. And it was expensive, but they helped us diagnose it. And I tell you, within 6 months, it completely turned her life around. And now she will read an 800, 900 page book with joy and zest and zeal. It takes a lot for a parent to figure out what's going on. And it can take a lot in a family because this one child is being disruptive. If you have more than one child, the other children are saying, why is this one getting so much attention? He's the bad one. Or it takes a toll on relationships between husbands and wives because, you know, one or the other, I don't want to pick on men, but men normally, but men kind of, you know, they don't get it. If their child has a disability, if they're physically disabled, mentally disabled, the mother is pouring all that she has to try to figure out what's going on and it can cause a rift. Did you find any of these symptoms, you know, to go on in your household or with your family?
Well, my children's dad and I are no longer together. And so I definitely felt an urgency where I believe that my ex-husband maybe felt like it was going to get better or go away. I don't want to throw him under the bus or anything like that, but it did, you know, I was so busy advocating. I actually helped form something, a grassroots movement called Decoding Dyslexia in North Carolina. And I led that for 6 years. And so as I was gobbling up as much information as I could about dyslexia, I started to really learn what would happen if a child was not given proper instruction. You know, we have two sides of the same coin, and one is you know, we have these extraordinary people like Steve Jobs, and then we have these other individuals who are in Rikers Island with dyslexia. And the only difference between the two is an identification or a diagnosis, and then the resources to get the help that they need. Because dyslexia does not discriminate, has nothing to do with your gender, your socioeconomic level, your background of any kind. And the only thing that stands in the way of becoming the full expression of who you are is proper instruction. But it starts with an identification. That's why I'm so passionate. I'm still passionate. It's been 13 plus years. My son is 22, and I talk about them a lot because they're kind of my first case studies. I didn't know how this would go. It's kind of a lot like a longitudinal case study that I did with them. My older one is now 22. My younger one is 17. Both finished the requirements to graduate from high school an entire year early. And both, my younger one is currently in the process of doing something called dual enrollment. And so he's still officially in high school, but he's taking college classes. And when he goes to college, he'll enter in as a first year sophomore. Wow. And my older son did the same, and he graduated an entire year early. He's been out living on his own. You know, he lives on the water, and he's a big boy now, but he's been out on his own for the last year, an entire year in advance. So my children had dyslexia. They did. And they do.
You know what? And I'll say this, you know, I see how you talked about the different categories very gently, and I appreciate that. But I want to be very upfront. It's access.
It is access. Right? It is.
And you look at some of these schools in some of these communities, there's no access.
No.
Okay. So that is where the challenge is. And ignorance. Ignorance is not a dirty word, Brain. Ignorance means not knowing.
It is. That's right.
And if your parents don't know, and then when they figure it out, there may be a problem that has arisen. It has to be, because that's when they identify with it. You have them in these substandard schools that don't have the access to great programs like Decoding Dyslexia. What do these parents do? What sort of resources are out there for these individuals that say, hey, maybe I can have my child tested?
Oh, they need to. Well, what they need to do is contact me, and I will screen them. I'm not a doctor, so I can't diagnose, but I can screen them and let them know if I see anything that needs either. They can do two things. They can take immediate action and start getting their child the help they need, or they can take it further. And they can go to the school, ask the school to evaluate their child. I can also show parents how to do that. Or if they feel like, well, this is for the people that don't have access. So if they don't, that's really what they need to do. I am in the process. We talked about this a little earlier. I am about to launch a beta community addressing exactly what you're talking about, because there are so many people. I just received a text just yesterday, and I get it all the time, all these text messages. People just don't, again, to your point, have the access. And it starts with the screening. It starts with the screening. And there are four pillars that make an individual with dyslexia successful. And April, I get the sense that you did it automatically for your daughter, and I think your parents did it for you as well. And so, but, you know, we talked about self-esteem, and when the children are starting to act out, that can be a clue. Now, the girls who have dyslexia, by the way, dyslexia impacts boys and girls 50-50. It's just that the boys tend to be a little louder about it. They tend to be a little noisier about it, and the girls kind of fade away. That's why it can be called, you know, a silent learning disability. Mm. And it only becomes a disability if you don't learn how to read. because there are so many strengths associated with dyslexia, which is another thing that I talk about in my community.
Wait a minute. This is something that you said is that reading now, I don't know, everybody is like, and I've gotten a little lazy with my reading. I'm doing better now. I looked over my library and I said, wow, there's so many books that I haven't just picked up and read. Because what I do is I multitask. I'm doing something and I'm listening to an audiobook. It doesn't transport the mind the same way it does as actually turning the pages, looking forward to what's coming next. It doesn't, again, stimulate the brain the same way. But also, reading it's a love. It's an acquired skill that people don't take advantage of like they used to anymore. I was talking to these young kids yesterday and they said, oh, Aunt April, we want it quick and slick. You take it too long. Don't take it too long. They want it in bite-sized pieces. They want it in nano pieces and they want the facts. Do you remember the day we had the encyclopedias? Oh my goodness, your parents paid a couple $1,000 to get each volume of that. Now you Google it and there it is.
That's right.
So, and also dyslexia can impact mathematics.
So I'm going to clear that confusion up. That is called dyscalculia.
Okay. Explain that to us.
Sure. So I want to go back to the reading, if I can do that, and then I'll do the dyscalculia. So reading, when there are three types of reading, three. One is Braille, finger. You're getting the same information in. The other one is ear reading, which is what you're describing. You're still getting that information through the book. You're right. You're using different centers to process. The other one is eye reading, and you're using your eyes and you're looking at text and you're flipping the pages. Now, when you use something that's called basically multisensory and you're getting it in your ears, your ear reading, and you're looking at the book and you're flipping the pages, you're basically getting that information through two different modalities, meaning your eyes and your ears, right?
Right.
And so what happens is people who don't have dyslexia, their comprehension goes up like 20%. People who have dyslexia, if you eye read and ear read, people with dyslexia, their comprehension goes up a lot, like 70%.
Wow.
So you can absorb information more quickly. Now, it's been my experience. So anything that I say statistically, I can source. Whenever I say it's my experience, it has been my personal experience. So it's been my experience that children who learn to eye read and ear read are able to consume more information. And they're also, it's that exposure to higher level words that do not exist. Even in college, like a college professor, if he were speaking, he doesn't use the quality of vocabulary that you would find in books. Mm-hmm. And again, there, I have resources for that as well. If people want to know how to ear read and eye read, your library is an amazing source. That would be the first place that I would go. They have a lot of audiobooks.
And you know, people are quick to judge you. Oh, you didn't spell that word correctly, or this, that, and the other. They don't know why. They assume that, you know, you have a lower level of education, but that's not true.
No, it's not true. It has
again, your vocabulary, you know, your context, your comprehension has a lot more to do with how you spelled it. Because
it does.
I had an F before a PH for a long time. And I had to get it together. That Y and that I, that drove me crazy. You know, but again, I've overcome that with practice. Now, tell
would
us
you like to know why? Would you like to have an answer? Okay. Anything with PH that makes the F sound, that's from Greek origin.
Okay.
Anything with the Y, it acts like an I, that's also Greek origin. So anytime you see the word phone why am I coming up? I'm having a hard time coming up with anything with PH making the F sound. But anytime you have a
or
Y, like
or philosophy.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So phil means fond of. So these are Greek combining forms, basically, which I use and talk about when I'm remediating students. And actually in my community, I'm going to teach the adults as well, just so most people haven't been taught, the patterns of the English language. Right. 90% of the, well, I'm sorry, let me be really exact. 88% of the English language follows a pattern. So the other 12% doesn't, but the English language is a melting pot, and it did come from Greek and Latin origins. And we have chameleon prefixes, and we have prefix and suffix spelling rules, and we have accenting, which can make the word industry, even though we just add the suffix AL to make it say industrial, the accent has shifted. And so it goes from industry to industrial. And then the word can feel very different, even though we've just added two other letters, it can sound different, feel different. And, you know, I feel that I am able to explain it pretty quickly and easily. So anytime I'm explaining something.
I went to a pretty cool school, you know, but I don't, and I'm, as you say that, I'm thinking about, did they really go into explaining the origin of the words?
Yeah.
Where there's other schools that, you know, you see these kids and these spelling bees, and they will tell them, okay, this word is the origin of blah, blah, blah. And they get it.
Yes. They know how to spell it. Sure.
Exactly. And they know how to spell it. Yeah. Tell us about dyscalculia.
Yeah. So it's called dyscalculia.
Let me say it. Dyscalculia.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So I'm going to go to dyslexia. Dys, D-Y-S. You see that Y in there. That's Greek. It's actually a lot. So it means difficulty with. Difficulty with. And lexia means language. So literally dyslexia came from those, really it's a Latin prefix, dys. And it really means difficulty with language. Difficulty with language. And so dyscalculia means difficulty with calculations, meaning math. Okay. So a lot of people, dyslexia was just kind of an umbrella for all those terms, but they really are different. And if you can get accurate, then you know what your child needs. If your child is struggling with word problems because they can't read, then that's dyslexia. If they're struggling truly with math computations, then that's dyscalculia, something different.
Right. And you know what? Where I find that they intersect and they parallel is comprehension, mm-hmm. understanding, mm-hmm. because my daughter's math was being affected by her reading, mm-hmm. and not understanding, comprehending the words, mm-hmm. the sequence of words, how you put it together.
Once
one changed, the other one.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Right in line. So there is some sort of synchronicity in mm-hmm. a way between the two. Mm-hmm. And what is school? Math and English. That's mm-hmm. the basics. And American students are far beyond the pale than we used to be. We used to be the leaders around the world. And now we're really focusing on STEM. You know, we want our children to go into more science, technology, engineering, mathematics, young women. I get that. But if we don't start at the basics, hard to turn around when they get into the peer pressure influence of 13, 14, 15. They say, why bother, let's just ditch.
Absolutely.
You know, let's not go. Then the child doesn't show up for 3 or 4 weeks, then they're behind with everyone else. I totally understand. I've seen Absolutely. It happen. So yeah. What are a couple, again, a couple key things to look for if you think that your child might be struggling with dyslexia?
So what I recommend, because there are different symptoms at different ages, and what I really recommend, if someone is listening to this, I recommend that they go to Yale. What's the website? And of course, I'm pulling it away from my website, but that's okay, because there's so much information out there. And Yale dyslexia, if you typed in Yale dyslexia, you would have the proper website. And
we're
they
definitely go to your website to, you know.
Well, I just, I didn't, I do something. What I do is I help people get as many free resources as possible. And then I take it from there and I help them really make their child whole so that they can create this stability within their their system so that they can express themselves fully and completely and be the people that we need them to be. Our youth will be our leaders tomorrow. And we need them to be educated, to do critical thinking, to work together, to collaborate, to be educated.
And to be kind human beings.
Well,
and
that accept, too.
Well, and accept people where they are. Everybody is not going to be, you know, a scholar. Mm-hmm. Everybody is not going to be an indigent either.
Mm-hmm.
Love so, people to figure out where they are at that point. And parents, you know, try to pay attention. Ask questions. Go in the classroom and just sit there and observe. Work so with there, the teacher.
I was about to say, I'm going to go ahead. So at a very young age, preschool, kindergarten, if students are starting to act out in class, and these are really, if they're having a hard time sounding out words, rhyming, even tying their shoes, telling time, I know all of this kind of seems ambiguous, but the reason we need to pay attention to this is because these are signs. These are signs. Now, as a child gets older, and the reason I told you to go to Yale is because they really break it down every 2 years, what to look for very specifically. And as a child is going into middle school or, you know, becoming a teenager, they may have what's called stealth dyslexia, and they may have been able to get through using their coping skills. But now they're starting to act out because the curriculum, the tempo has increased. And they want to, as you say, ditch, they want to skip. And they're finding other things that could be more lucrative even than going to school. So, mm-hmm. And they just don't have the tools and the resources. And the thing is that those students who have dyslexia, or they discover that they have dyslexia in middle school or in high school, they may be reading, like I said, the frontal part of their lobe is just inefficient. And so there is a way to fill in those gaps. There are so many different things we can do.
Again, communication, patience, and love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what I learned at the Sylvan Learning Center more than anything, is a reward for effort.
Mm-hmm.
They may not get an A on the test. They may get a C. But all year long, they've been getting D's and F's. And I had to, you know, I was telling the young people that I was with yesterday, F is just a way of benchmarking against others. It doesn't mean that you're a failure. But if you don't apply yourself, if you don't speak up, if you don't turn in the work, if you don't raise your hand, you are failing
mm-hmm.
at an opportunity to expand yourself, to grow, to challenge yourself. Learning is fun. Learning is really cool. What turned my daughter around was we took her on vacation. We're world travelers. And we took her to Jamaica. And when she went to Jamaica, she saw these young girls. Their uniforms were pristine. They were walking 3 miles in the dirt with white lace socks on, no dirt on the socks. They took great pride in putting on that backpack and going to school, to have the ability, the opportunity to leave a shanty shack, to walk 3 miles in whatever condition it was, to go to school, to raise their awareness, to possibly do better for their family, to do better for themselves, to learn a foreign language. It was unbelievable. And when she came back, she watched that for like 2 weeks. When she came back, she was a totally different person. She would come home. She was going to a parochial school. She'd get her uniform out. She, you know, shared with the students what she went through. But when she looked at her books, she looked at them a lot different. And then she started going to this reading program, and they taught me to reward her for her effort. And it all came together. And it wasn't rocket science, brains. It didn't take a whole lot, but it did take observation to pay attention.
You have to be present.
Tell us about your beta program. What do parents have to look forward to in joining that community?
I have over 13 years experience. Wow. And I've raised two boys that are very successful. So I'm really excited. And I led a grassroots movement for 6 years. I advocated at a national, state, and local level. We passed the first dyslexia law in the state of North Carolina. I talk to parents all over the place, whether it's in preschools or churches or libraries and online. And I know how to remediate students. And I just have this, all this information that I want to share with people. And I wrote a book, and I also created a course. And I actually created a course a year ago, and two of the pillars are already becoming outdated because AI is moving so quickly, and even the school system is shifting after the pandemic. So what I want to do is I want to pull people in and give them all this information for a very affordable price, so that's not a barrier to entry to getting the help their children needs, their child needs, whatever, if it's their child or children, and even the help that they need. So the way I will instruct is I will teach the parents how to empower the kids. So I'll empower the parents, and which will empower the children. And it will just be a win for everyone involved. It will help heal the family system if there's any struggle. So as far as the community is concerned, there will be three teachings a month, and then three Q&As after the teachings. And we will focus on the four pillars that I talk about. One is mindset. So the first week will be mindset, advocacy, and self-esteem. And those really all go hand in hand. And if someone that is in my community needs to go do a deep dive with a personal guide to help them through the IEP process, I have partnered with people that can help them do that. The next thing is assistive technology and AI, and to not be afraid of it. It really does even the playing field for those people who have dyslexia, and especially adults. The last one would be basically my learn to read at lightning speed. Mm-hmm. Which is just, it's not for those students who truly need help with phonemic awareness and those sounds and really need one-on-one attention. It's more for the stealthy people who have dyslexia that just want to learn. When I say dyslexia, who maybe possibly never really learned the reading and spelling rules. And it just doesn't have to be, it just doesn't have to be that difficult.
And again, I thank you. I thank you for, you know, shifting your career. Your kids had already been through that. Yes. You've already experienced that. But now it meant so much to you, and you saw that there was such a big gap and a big void in the ability and the opportunity and the access, Brains,
to it's learn. So true.
You know, we need to really kind of come together as parents and as adults. And you've done that, and you've poured into them. You've created a program. You've dedicated the last 13 years. You spearheaded great, great programs in decoding dyslexia, because it is a challenge, and it's not anything that can cripple you. You need to learn how to. You learn differently.
Absolutely, there are so many strengths associated with dyslexia, and Dr. Sprock and Frenette Idy have identified four. And so actually in my course, so if someone joins my community, they'll get a signed book for free, or, you know, with the program. And they'll also receive the course that I created a year ago. And I go in depth about the different strengths associated with dyslexia, but it will also be discussed in the community at length.
Right. And so that's what I want you to do. I want you to up level yourself. And you may, as a parent, you may have it too.
Oh, I do. Oh, I do have dyslexia.
You, but I'm just saying other parents may
Oh,
have,
absolutely.
well, and not realize it. I'm talking to a lot of parents now that are realizing that they have ADHD or they have different type of learning disabilities, neurodivergency, that they didn't realize they had until their children started getting tested. And then they said, oh, wow, you know, this is similar. So you teach by what you know.
Absolutely. I do need to address the ADD and dyslexia. There is what's called a lot of comorbidity, meaning that you can have dyslexia and ADD. Now, it's been my personal experience with the students that come to me that look like they have ADD, they just really have dyslexia. And they're not comfortable sitting in the chair. They're not comfortable being called on. They'd rather act like a class clown and be hyper. Or they can look like they have inattentive ADD, you know, where they're just kind of spacing out. Well, if you're being taught something and it's going straight over your head, do you think you're going to be able to focus? We are only able to really take in 10 bits, I'm sorry, 40 bits of information at one time, and we're only able to hold on between 3 and 7. So, you know, let's just put in the middle, like 5 bits of information at a time. And if you are in a foreign country, and I know you travel, and somebody's speaking a language that you don't understand, you're not going to understand it. So I want to
Because
caution.
you depend on the other senses, hand gestures, eye
Absolutely.
movement, you know,
Absolutely.
just other the atmosphere. That's how you comprehend.
So I really want to be careful about just putting a child on medication that they may not need. They may just need explicit instruction and to feel zero shame about it. 20% of the population has dyslexia. It's it
That's a big
is.
portion.
And we were fine until the printing press was invented. And then we started learning through the written word. Before we had apprenticeships and everybody, you know, and that's where people with dyslexia thrive. We're very kinetic learners.
Right. Absolutely. And I'm a witness, Brains. You know, I'm the author of 3 books. I've sold over 25,000 copies of my books. And I was a person that had dyslexia. I'm a marketing genius. I've had my own business since I was 5 years old. You know, and I continue to thrive. And it's not because I'm a voracious reader now and audio listening, but I'm going to try to do both. And I really appreciate the struggle. And, you know, in a way, I think it was a gift because now I am a lot more empathetic. I understand. And I'm supporting great people like Linda that are really ready to forge ahead. But I wanted to ask a couple fun questions of you before we conclude, because this is my favorite part of the interview. We've done the deep dive. If you could do anything else in the world outside of what you're doing, what would you be doing?
So interesting. I love that question. I'm pretty close to doing exactly what I'd be doing.
Oh, see? That's
I am.
good.
I would paint a lot more. One of my best friends is an artist, and she's taught me how to paint, and I really could do that all day, every day.
Okay. And you
Or I would be outside. But I love change work. I really love helping people change their perspective about their situation and where they are. And I like, no, I'm sorry, I love watching people transform. And I get to do it with parents. I love doing it with the children that I get to work with. I do have one-on-ones. I'm about to have a couple of people graduate too. And I could take on more people. I do have 2 people that are currently talking to me now, and I know that this will be so I may be full, but I do have what's called a tutor registry on my website for parents that need help, one-on-one help, and you can go to my tutor registry and find them there. I really want to promote the other people that I'm working with. I would love to create this big, massive, interwoven community where everyone is helping everyone with the resources that they need. So
And
I'm
either
working.
one must teach one, you know. That's what we're
Absolutely.
only here on the planet for 2 purposes, brains, believe it or not. One is to teach and the other one's to learn.
And to give.
And, oh,
I
and to
think.
give. Wait, okay, maybe 4. Give and to love. But basically, you know, you have to give of yourself. So now, if you were an appliance in the kitchen, What appliance would you be, Linda?
Well, even though I'm very warm-hearted, I'd probably be a refrigerator because I store things and I keep things for other people. Keep them fresh and healthy and make
Oh,
sure
that's beautiful. That's one of my favorite places too, but I like to be a refrigerator because I just like to chill.
Yeah. All right, I'll take that on.
I just
I
like to chill. If you could time travel, where would you go? Where would you land? Past, present, future, and why?
Definitely not back. Definitely not back. We've been there, done that. I'd go to the future, although I'm really enjoying right now. So
In the
I'm a big
present.
fan of the right now.
A lot of people aren't not in the present. And that includes me because I want to be like 3,000. I want to see what's going on.
I know we'll get there soon enough.
We'll get there soon enough. And in closing, I think I have an idea of what this answer might be, but I want to hear your perspective. What do you want your legacy to be, Linda?
Oh gosh. This is my mission statement in life, and I have an affirmation that I do every day. I want to transform as many lives as I can through the written and spoken word. That's my mission.
Look at that. See? Very simplistic, very easy. And that smile should be on a Colgate commercial because it is infectious. It is
Thank
as warm, it's inviting. And that's what we want. We want somebody that's going to love on your kid, you know, that's going to encourage them and tell them no matter what, there is an opportunity, there is a lane for you. There, you know, just keep trying, just forge ahead. You again, you may not be, you know, way up there, but level the playing field with opportunity, with access, with education, with accountability and responsibility, asking the right questions, rewarding and recognizing, praising for effort, and working with Linda. Thank you so much for being here on The Edge. Please tell my brains how to get in contact with you. We're also going to put all of her information at the back of the interview as well as in the show notes. I encourage you. I really, really encourage you, even if you think it may not be what you think, it may be a small adjustment, but please do the investigative work for yourself and for your children. How do they contact you, Linda?
Well, they can look on that QR code that I have on the screen,
Okay. Got
which
it.
will take them straight to my High Vibe Dyslexia Tribe. That's what it's called.
Oh, that's cool.
To get, yeah, because I also want to nurture parents so that they can nurture their children. And while I have the pleasure of nurturing children, I want to nurture the parents as well, because I really think that that is what goes out into the world, and at home when no one's looking. So if I can teach the parents how to nurture their children who have dyslexia, I think it'll be a huge, well, I know it'll be a huge game changer for them. But my website's called dyslexiastuff.com,
Okay.
and you can find me there. You can find me on social media. My name's Linda Colasanti. I'm on Facebook and LinkedIn and Instagram, and I do have a YouTube channel. It's really just getting started, so.
Okay. Well, we got to start somewhere. Brains, and we're going to promote her and share her with other leaders in the industry. I got a couple of people that I want to connect you with. To really kind of help you thrive and build this community. And if there's anything we can do here on the edge, please let us know because, again, reading is powerful. It's a game changer.
Is
It's a
can
game changer.
I would love to say two more things. You know, people say knowledge is power, and applied knowledge is power. It's applied knowledge. And then I have to give a shout out to you. April, you are so warm. And I don't know anybody that's been, can I, you can cut this out if you don't want this said, but I'm just gonna say, before we got started, April absolutely connected with my heart, wrapped me in this warm, energetic hug, and made me really, really feel comfortable. So you are really good at what you do.
Well, thank you so much. And I appreciate that because, again, I know the struggle is real. And being an entrepreneur since I was 5 years old, I knew the power of my gift. My gift was communication. I didn't know if I was going to be a teacher, a preacher. I didn't know what it was. I had no idea that it was going to be media. But this has really, really allowed my voice to reverberate around the world and embrace important issues. because people are tired of, you know, the same old cookie cutter stuff that's on television, the same Debbie Downers. Nobody is, you know, being the cheerleader anymore, except for, you know, great people like you, and dedicating their lives. You know, they want the stuff, but they don't want to, you know, they don't want to get their hands dirty. So thank you so much for playing in the mud with me. I appreciate it.
I love it too. I always think, all right, I'd maybe be a dishwasher too, because I like to clean people up.
Yeah, I know. That's what I said. I like the steam. Brains, go in, love, like, share, and subscribe. Go in and show Linda that you appreciate all the things that she's done. Talk to her about what's going on with your kids and you. She's there. And I mean, you know, look at that smile. She's inviting, she's opening the door for you. Again, like I said, there's a lot of communities that do not have access. And now you are a point and a click away. You're right there on your phone right now. You're watching me. You're on YouTube. You're on Facebook all day long. Scroll, stop, and click on something that matters. Thank you so much, Linda. I appreciate you. Come back and see me, okay?
Okay, thank you, April.
All right. Bye, Brain.